Hello, my name is Josh.
I'm Jamie.
Welcome to Garcia's with Twinkies podcast. We're talking about movies, comics, everything in between. Today, we're going to be talking about everything from a live action Naruto movie in the works to our spoiler thoughts on Netflix's Avatar: The Last Airbender adaptation and so much more.
Also, feel free to follow us on all our social media platforms. We're on Twitter and TikTok, a combo with Two Geeks. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, at Conversation with Two Geeks. And if you want to send us an email of anything from this episode or one of our previous episodes, our email is at conversationwithtwogeeks@gmail.com.
You can listen right back on Spotify, podcast, Google Podcasts, or a podcast to listen to. How are you today, Jamie?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing okay as well. I'm happy that we're almost towards the end of the week, which means a certain mo well, Dune Part 2 is coming out this weekend, which I know I've already seen and reviewed, but like I'm seeing it again on Saturday at the Vista. So like I'm pretty stoked. I'm just like, finally, it's the weekend.
Very cool.
Man, did this month kind of. It's just weird that February go by really, really fast.
It did. It really did.
It's just like one day it's like the first, and the next day it's like the 15th, and the next day it's already the 18th.
I know. It's wild.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah. Anyways, let's get on to it. We don't have much to talk about this week, but we'll be back over with it next week. But moving on to our first topic of the day. A citizen from THR reports that Destin Daniel Cretton, who co-wrote and directed the Marvel Studios movie Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Rings, has been tapped to pen and helm a live-action adaptation of Naruto, one of the most popular mangas of all time from Lionsgate. Created by Masashi Kimimoto, Naruto it was a coming-of-age story focused on a young enthusiastic ninja named Naruto Uemazuki, who wants to grow up and be a leader of his ninja village, but who also happens to have the spirit of a nine-tailed demon fox inside of him. The story was serialized in Japan's popular weekly Shonen Jump from 1999 to 2014, tracking the characters' coming of age, friendship, and many superpowered ninja battles. It also spawned several anime series that ran for years on Cartoon Network, DCXC, Adult Swim, and other networks. It's been adapted into video game form and continues to be a merchandising juggernaut. Naruto has essentially been building hardcore fans around the world for 25 years. Creature will produce alongside JM, sorry for
I
mispronunciation,
think so.
Munford through his company Hiseko. The duo will join Avi Arad, at least Avi Arad twice, Avi Arad and Emmy Yu of Arad Productions, who are behind the studio's upcoming video game adaptation Borderlands, and Jeremy Latcham, who was a producer on not only just recently Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves, but on the first Iron Man.
Okay.
Yeah. In a statement, Kishimoto said, "When I heard Dustin's attachment, it happened to be right after I was watching a blockbuster fi action film of his. Probably no doubt Shang-Chi, because that's really the only one he's living as of right now. And I thought he would be the perfect director for Naruto. After joining his other films and understanding his forte is creating solid dramas about people, I became convinced that there was no other director for Naruto. And actually meeting Destin, I found him to be an open-minded director who was willing to embrace my input and feel strongly that we would be able to cooperate together in the production process." Okay, I'm gonna be frank with everyone. I've only really seen bits and pieces of Naruto. This was actually more my brother's anime, and I actually texted him this morning to see, like, "Hey, what are your thoughts on this?" And he said he was in for it.
Interesting.
So I'm going on my brother's word for it. And honestly, after Shang-Chi, I could see this.
I haven't seen Naruto, so like I don't really know. But if it's like more ninja based, I feel like it could potentially really work. And getting the Shang-Chi director makes a lot of sense for it too. Because the fight scenes are really good in that movie. So like and it'd be very good, I feel like. So yeah, I mean, this is pretty cool. This will be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, One Piece did pretty well in live action. I still haven't seen it, but like I've heard people like the live action One Piece. So like it could be done. And I feel like if it's less supernatural and more like action oriented, it will translate a little bit better.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I think it is somewhat supernatural, but like, I mean, so we'll see, we'll see.
I
But
don't know. I don't know what it is about. I just heard the ninja thing, so I'm like, that makes sense. That'll translate well.
I
So.
no, definitely. But yeah, no, I'm just wondering what he's gonna be able to do this, because like, because Shang-Chi too has already been fast tracked.
It might be a minute, honestly.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't know if he's gonna do this before or after. I would be surprised if he did this beforehand. But we'll see. We'll see. Either way, I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be good. Should be
Yeah.
fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, moving on to our second topic of the day. We got an official trailer for The Girls on the Bus synopsis reads, based on a novel Chasing Hillary by Amy Chazok. Chazok. Just like the series follows Sadie McCarthy, played by Miss Benoist, a journalist who romanticized a bygone era campaign reporting and scraps her whole life for a shot at covering a presidential election for a paper on of record. Sadie joins the bus and eventually bonds with three female competitors: Grace, played by Carla Gino; Lola, played by Natasha Bedingham; and Kimberlyn, played by Christina Elmore. Despite their differences, the women become a found family with a front row seat to the greatest soap opera in town, The Battle for the White House. Created by Chozek and Vampire Diaries, here are just Julie Plec with Rhea, with oh, actually Rena, oh, geez, Rena Mimnow. Showrunner, the series with Benoist, Gina Benham, Elmore, Brandon Scott Duffin, Mark Consilios, and Scott Foley. The series is set to drop on HBO Max March 14th. So, as the resident Supergirl fan, what'd you think about this trailer?
I think it's just hilarious that her next live action role is a journalist, like covering reporter role, when she played Kara but like didn't do as much journalism as people wanted her to do in that show. I think that part's kind of ironic,
A bit.
a little bit. But it'll be, I think it looks fun. I think the trailer looks pretty good. I believe Melissa was helping produce it too,
I
so
believe, yeah, she is a producer on
believe
this.
yeah, so that's pretty exciting. So like, I haven't heard of any of the other girls, but the I
You know
the season
Carla Gugino was the mom from Spy Kids, right?
wait, what?
Yeah, that's the
I
mom from
didn't
Spy.
recognize her. I don't think I recognized her or something.
Yeah, no, she's the mom from Spy Kids.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, no, I just
I'll have
want
to
to
rewatch
point
it.
that
That's hilarious now. That's funny. My bad.
It's okay. I'm just laughing because it's like that's what I re most remember her from because that was my first introduction to her.
Like the original Spy Kids?
Yeah, the original Spy Kids.
Oh my God. Okay, that's funny. I love those movies. But no, I think it looks, it should be interesting. I think this is right up Melissa's alley too. She likes doing these kind of projects, so I think this is cool, and this should be her first big live action role since Supergirl, so that's pretty exciting. And so yeah, I mean, I'm just excited to see her back because she's so good, and so it'll be exciting, and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be interesting. So.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And like, I'm, yeah, no, it's just, especially when you gotta point out the whole journalist thing, I'm just like,
It's pretty funny. The whole running joke that like she's always gone and never at CatCo. And so it just became a running joke, and now I'm like, well, there it is. It's funny.
like, where's Kara?
For real, it's hilarious.
It's like, yeah, she's not in right now. It's like,
No, yeah, it's pretty funny. But no, I think honestly, like having Melissa, it seems like Melissa's going to be the lead, makes sense too, since they know she can handle that. So it should be cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious and definitely
And
excited
it'll
about
just be nice seeing her in a more like grounded role. So I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, more adult grounded show, which I
Not
just
like, not superhero-y, but more like realistic kind of like stuff. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. This looks like a lot of fun. Anyway, moving on to our next topic. We got an official show for I Saw the TV Glow. Synopsis reads, two teenagers bond over their love of a television series after it's mysteriously canceled. The reality begins to blur. Written directed by Jane Schoenebrun, the film stars Justice Smith and Bridget Lynde Payne, and the film is set for release on May 3rd. So, full disclosure, I have not seen the director's previous movie, which, from what I remember hearing, it's just as trippy as this. Because my God, this trailer was trippy as fuck.
It was very trippy,
Like, did I get on some shrooms or something, or?
yeah. I think it's gonna be one of those that really leads into like the mystery factor or like the mysteriousness kind of thing and use that to play up like the suspense and the element to it. Because sometimes there's horror movies that are just straight up like horror, like kind of thing. This seems more as going to be more of a mystery involved with it. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, no, and plus this also has gotten like this came from the festival circuit, and apparently like a lot of critics really enjoyed it.
Okay, that's cool.
So yeah, I'm really curious about this one. Anyways, moving on to our next and final topic. This is gonna be kind of be a semi-short show in terms of the topics. According to Variety, Paramount has set projects for 2025 and 2026. This includes a long-in-development reboot of The Naked Gun, with Liam Neeson set to star. Directed by Akiva Schaffer, who if you don't know, it's one third of the Lonely Island group, which includes German Tetorino and Andy Samberg. They also did movies like Hot Fuzz, Never Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping, and let's really this and MacGyver, and MacGyver, and MacGyver. With Sheffer, Corey, with Chippendales, Rescue Rangers, Scribes, Jay Gregor, and Doug Mann, and Seth MacFarlane producing. That has a release date of July 18th, 2025. Meanwhile, the follow-up to THE Digital Meet Mayhem from director Jeff Rowe and produced by Point Grey Pictures will hit theaters on November 9th, 2026. So we got a confirmation on the sequel for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtle Power, Mutant Mayhem, which I really enjoyed. I'm really excited. I'm happy that they're kind of like going now all in, especially with the Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series in the work set to come out, I think, later this year, and then just the next movie, because like I really enjoyed the movie. Did you see the movie?
No, I haven't seen the new one
Oh,
yet.
it's so good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it. I'm Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't have a connection to it. I never really watched much of the cartoon growing up, so like I don't have that connection to it.
Interesting.
But the I don't know. I feel like I was in like that weird age gap where I was like maybe a little bit too old for it and stuff, so like it'll be interesting though to see. No, I heard good things about the new one that came out, and I know the animation was really good for it, so like that's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
So
no, definitely, definitely. But yeah, no, I do recommend it if you ever get a chance and stuff. But yeah, also the Naked Gun reboot. Now, have you ever seen the Naked Gun movies?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay. I've seen bits and pieces of them, and it's another one of those parody movies, but like before 2000, where they all went to crap. They have a Leslie Nielsen in it from Airplane, and so. And so I'm really am curious about this because like again you got some of the same people that did the Chippendales Rescue Rangers, which was actually really good, which was actually really good. Like I didn't expect it to be that really good. And then you got one half of Lonely Island plus Seth MacFarlane producing, and then you also have Liam Neeson in it, which I feel like recently, and I noticed this a little bit in some of the roles. He hasn't had too many like big huge roles, but in some of the smaller cameos he's made, he's playing like a lot more comedic roles. Yeah, like for example,
Interesting.
he had a small bit in Ted 2 with Trix and Ted and stuff. Like
Okay.
if you haven't, just look up Liam Neeson Trix Ted 2 scene when you guys get the chance, because like it is kind of funny and like yeah. Also, without giving away anything else, because I actually don't know much about the series, but he was in the and this might be potentially spoiler for those that watch it. So I have over years. But apparently, he's in like the series finale of Dairy Girls.
Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
He's it. That's interesting. Huh. Okay, I did not know that. I haven't seen that show yet.
I haven't either. I've only
So
yeah,
I
I've
have no idea what it's about, but that's interesting that he's like in the season or series finale or whatever. That's funny. Or the finale.
Yeah, no, and like I can see a sort of funny bone, and plus I think he's at the age right now where like yeah we can parody him.
I mean, I feel like having to constantly do dramas or like very serious roles probably gets exhausting after a while. You probably want to do something more lighthearted and funny,
Yeah, I know.
or
It's
you can
just
try to be funny.
like it's like, all right, time for another drama scene. And it's like, can we liven this up?
For real,
But yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, that's interesting here. Anyway, moving on to our recommendations for the week. So let's talk about Netflix's Avatar and spoilers.
And spoilers.
So for me, as someone that has finally watched all 8 episodes, I thought it was really good. I thought showrunners Albert Kim and company crafted a new specific taste of the source material while still honoring the anime series. In addition, I thought the cast delivered some great performances from the sounds being Ian Ausley and Dallas Liu as Sokka and Zuko, respectively. All in all, Netflix's Avatar: The Last Airbender is a unique take on source material that manages to do something while respecting what came before. And yeah, no, I really dug this series. Like, it wasn't a one-to-one. There obviously was some changes and stuff. And I think for the most part, I thought the characters were well done. Characters were well done. I thought the performances were really good. And, like, I thought the visual effects were pretty good for the most part and stuff. And, yeah, no. Again, my only thing, if I had any, like, nitpicks or anything, I do wish this was more than 8 episodes. I hope maybe that they can rectify that in season two. There's also something that happens. Also, like, I get why Aang didn't learn waterbending, and like they kind of can rectify that a little bit in season two, but like I kind of wish he learned just a tiny smidge of waterbending, maybe even towards finale. But I'm willing to forgive that and stuff. And then also the whole thing with his comment, which was something I learned about previously because there was an interview with the showrunner about that, and I was like, okay, fine. I get why they're not doing it and why they're not committing to it, but it does seem like they might be committing based on the post-credit scene and stuff. But yeah, no, I dug this more than I thought I would because I was looking at the reviews and stuff and like the Rotten Tomatoes score, which at the time like turned into 49%, which was like oof, or 59%. It was like oof, that's not good. And then I sat down and I watched it in two chunks. So I watched the first 5 episodes. And then so during the weekend I watched the first 5 episodes and then I didn't watch it for a day, and then I finished up with the last 8 episodes. So like Friday I watched the first 5 episodes, and then Sunday I watched the last 3 episodes.
Yeah, I. All right. So, like, I'm rewatching it with a friend right now. And it is def like trying to feel like how I can phrase this. I do think the show is good. I'm not saying it's bad. I do think that it is actually very well done. I think the effects are really good. I right now I'm in that weird phase where it's very hard for me to disassociate it with the original show. Like, it's very hard for me because some of the changes that they have made, not all of them, there's some changes that I like. Some of the changes they've made have, I don't want to say like, and it's my nitpicky brain, so I'm really trying hard not to like affect me. But on my rewatch, I am enjoying it more, to be honest. I do think there is something, I do think that if you are a fan of the original show, you really have to like let go of your thought, like your connections to that, kind of to just be able to enjoy this in a way. Because if you're comparing it to the original, you're not gonna like it. It's gonna be a struggle. And so like, but I do think on its own it could be very good, and I think it is very good. I think the effects are well done. I think the younger cast will get better. Because that is something like. And I think it's just them having, I think there's a lot of green screen and a lot of like on set. They're not on location as much. So like I think a lot of it is green screen. So I think like when they're by themselves and having their little monologues, I think it's a talent. They'll get better. I think it's, they're not all the kids are like the Stranger Things kids who are just like all for some reason pretty good. And so, but I do think like, I do think they'll get better. I'm not too worried about that. I don't even think they're that bad. I just think like there's moments. But I do think that the guy who plays Sokka is really good. I do think the guy who plays Zuko is very good. I think they're definitely the standouts, and stuff. So, and we'll just have to see. I mean, the only I think I the one thing I do agree with you is if they move forward and get a season two and or book two, season two, season three, is that they really got to give them more episodes because there's no way that they're gonna be able to like I'm just thinking of like the book three finale, like how they the animated show split that up into like four separate episodes. It was like a four part thing, so like there's going to be they're gonna need like more episodes to be able to do a lot of the stuff that they have to do, and it's just gonna get crazier too. Like even like the book two finale is a lot, so like. So like there's they're gonna need more than eight episodes to be able to kind of pull them off because even in this season, the pacing was throwing me off, and that's why I think that this show would have been done better if they had like a weekly release almost. I feel like maybe. And so yeah, I mean we'll see. I mean, I'm definitely enjoying it more now that I'm rewatching it. I do think like having a little bit of space and just not being so connected to like the original is helping. And you know, if you really love the original, it's still there. It's still on Netflix. It's on Paramount. So like, it's still there. I literally am watching Korra right now, and I'm enjoying that. So like, I just think like it'd be really cool if we can make this little like universe and make. And expand more on it. I think there's some potential, you know? It'd be very cool.
Yeah, man, definitely. I 100% agree with you on that. And also, like, you also guys are getting new, I don't want to say the word content, but like the new projects.
Perspective. Yeah.
New projects with Avatar Studios.
For like that's a big thing. I don't think people, I think the mega fans know about it, but I don't know how many people are actually aware. We're supposed to start getting that stuff next year. I think we would have gotten it a little bit sooner if not for COVID, potentially. But we're supposed to get the first one next year in theaters. And then we're gonna get the next series of the next Avatar and stuff. So like there's gonna be a lot of potential. Like we can make this a thing. So like we just gotta support it. I mean, because, honestly, I think as like this is probably going to be the best kind of version of an adaptation we can expect from it, because I think a lot of the changes that they had to make, they did because of the live action. I think it probably fit better in live action. So like, we got to keep that in perspective too a little bit, but no, like I am definitely. Then I sat with it for a little bit. I feel better about it. I was really struggling that first week when it came out. Because, like, I knew there was going to be changes, but some of the changes that they made, I was struggling with a little bit. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with you. And you know, it's really hard to kind of take your own thoughts and feelings out of something that you really love and stuff. And like sometimes I've had to do it, and like it takes me a second.
It's hard. It really is because like especially when the original show is so good and so well done and like there's not very many issues with it, you know? Like if this is Korra, it'd be a different story because they're this because of how at the original Atla was created, they knew how many seasons they were getting and were able to write it like or have it written all the way out from the start.
Yeah,
So
no,
like
have
they
a good
had
beginning, middle, and end.
with Korra, they thought they were only gonna get one episode, one season, then they got a second season, and then they got three and four. So like that also is a factor too. So because Avatar was so well done, it would be extremely difficult to make an adaptation of it and like the action knows that and like in that sense too. So like
Yeah, plus we've
My.
already seen how like the other one went.
Exactly. But I think regardless, this is much better than that. So like I think that's out of the water.
Oh, hell
But
yeah.
and I think that honestly the bending looks pretty good for the most part. I think they've done a very good job.
Oh, yeah, no, I really like the bending.
So but yeah, I mean it'd be cool if this keeps going and like God forbid Netflix decides they want to do Korra, that's gonna be its own headache because that's going to be very interesting to see how they end up doing that.
Yes.
Because there's some spirit stuff that happens in that one that I'm like, I don't know how that would look like in CGI. It'd look probably kind of wonky, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. Yeah.
But
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah. Anyways, that's it for our show this week. Kind of a short show.
yeah. Feel free to follow us on all social media platforms. We're on Twitter and TikTok at Convo with Two Geeks. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Conversation with Two Geeks. And if you want to send us your e an email with anything from this episode or whatever previous episodes, our email is at conversationwithtwogeeks at gmail.com.
All right, take care, everyone. See you next time.
Bye
Bye.
bye.